but it can also challenge you. Like when your children ask you why they have to do a task you have asked them to do, and all you're thinking is, I'm African and you just do what you're told. Or it can scare you. Motherhood can scare you, like when the clock is ticking and you're not sure where your teenager is, what time they're coming home, who they're with and what they're doing, and whether the police are going to come knocking on your door. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how hard motherhood is. I've got four children, and when my three older kids were younger, I was very structured. Everything was routine. In fact, I have an electronic folder on all my children and my husband. I had good behavior charts in place. I was so fearful of getting things wrong. But now, it's changed. With my youngest, I'm like, you want a cupcake for breakfast? Go ahead. As long as you've got food in your stomach, I'm good. You want McDonald's for dinner? Sure, I'm too tired to think about dinner anyway. You know, there are these sayings that I find sometimes. One of them is, I can't adult today. I think I get one that says, I can't mother today. Anyone can relate? Yes? We thank God for all the mothers. And what I'd like to do before I start preaching is just to get all the mothers to come to the front so I can pray for you. Because motherhood can be hard. It doesn't matter how old your children are. If you're a mother, please come so I can pray for you. Men, please feel free to extend your hands. And anyone who's not a mom, please feel free to extend your hand. You know, we talk about all the great things that mothers do, but motherhood is hard. And so we just want to pray for mothers. We want to pray for wisdom. Look at the way they're holding each other. That's such a motherly thing to do. Typical. We pray for wisdom. We want to pray for courage. We want to pray for strength to keep moving forward. So please just stretch out your hands as we pray for these mothers. Father, we thank you for motherhood. We thank you that motherhood is a gift from you. We thank you that motherhood is ministry. We know, Lord, that motherhood can be a challenge, Lord. That, Father, we get days where you just don't want to get up and do anything with anyone, especially the children. So, Father, I just pray right now for a strengthening that only you can give these mothers. I pray that, Father, you may refresh them. I pray that you may reset them so that they can get up again and keep going, Lord, because motherhood is a gift straight from heaven. I pray for wisdom, Lord, godly wisdom, to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, Lord. Father, we know that you give children to mothers and mothers to children. And so I pray, Father, for families here, every mother and their children, Lord, whatever challenges they're facing, give them the wisdom to know what to do with the situation in front of them. And lastly, Lord, I pray for courage. Courage to keep parenting. Courage to say yes when it's necessary. Courage to say no when it's necessary, Lord. Courage to seek help when that's what's needed, Lord. Courage to just keep raising up children in the ways of the Lord. I thank you, Father, for every mother here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please, let's give mothers a hand. Happy Mother's Day. They loved that. Don't you just love women? Women are just so happy. You know, in my culture, we have a belief about children. And it's that children are special. And children are sent by God. And when they speak, you listen. And you listen very carefully. The Bible says, out of the mouths of babes, he has ordained praise. I was driving to daycare sometime last year, and my daughter said three things to me, 4 years old, one sentence after the other. And she said, do not give up on your dreams. Keep using your imagination. You are special. I couldn't stop on the highway. So I just said, what did you just say? She said, do not give up on your dreams. Keep using your imagination. You are special. To everyone in the room, whether you're male or female, I say this, do not give up on your dreams. Keep using your imagination and you are special. If you take anything from today, take that and believe it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, we get a glimpse of what, living your life according to God might look like. God's version for your life. Because we have our version, and then we have God's version. He says, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase. Other translation says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Be fruitful and increase. A woman was created with the womb that would give her capacity to carry seed for a specific period of time, after which she would produce the fruit for that season. The principle here is not just about women and babies, although that's part of it, but rather about the capacity to carry seed. Seed that would produce fruit and then have the ability to repeat the process, to reproduce, to do more, recreate, multiply. As God's creation, male or female, we have been released with a blessing. It says God blessed them and said, we've been released with a blessing to go ahead and be fruitful and go beyond that and be and multiply. A lot of us sometimes are waiting on the Lord. We're waiting to hear a word from God. We're waiting for a prophet. We go to all sorts of places to hear the word of the Lord. But God has already blessed you and said, be fruitful and multiply. Meaning you have to do something now. You've been released, but because of fear, we don't do it. Despite the blessing, many of us live unfulfilled lives, full of doubts and insecurities about what we hold in our hands, about what we're meant to be doing with it, and how we are to do it. Should I live in Perth? Should I live in Sydney? Should I take this job, that job? Should I marry this person, that person? Should I start a business? Should I quit my job? If you're taking notes today, the title of my message is Not at Capacity. Not at Capacity. I just want to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the word that you've placed in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that as I speak this word, that it would land. It would land where it's meant to land. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive the word of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The main scripture I'm reading from is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, the wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Sorry, this table is a bit further than I thought. A small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. What does that mean? Ask for many, many, many. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. Right there we see obedience. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. Ongoing obedience. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, Sell the oil and pay for your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Just to give a summary, here we meet a grieving widow, a woman whose husband was known for his faith and leadership. He was part of the company of prophets. Typically, prophets were messengers of God, the ones who had dreams and visions. They prophesied. They understood warfare, spiritual warfare. They could intercede. They anointed leaders. They implemented divine strategies. This family was a household of faith, like you and I. She was a mother to two boys. Suddenly, with the death of her husband, trouble has come her way. She's facing a family crisis. I wonder if anybody here has ever faced a family crisis. In fact, I think some people are in the middle of a family crisis right now. As creditors are demanding that they be paid, or they're taking her sons, the fruit of her womb, the gift of God that made her a mother, they are taking that. The only reminders she had and connection she had to her late husband. She's under threat. I wonder if your family's ever been under threat. Most of us have never been at risk of losing our children to slavery. But there are many who have faced losing their children to the system, to the government, to the war. Some have risked losing their children to external factors beyond their control. Maybe drugs. Maybe sex trafficking, maybe mental illness. You may not relate to the loss of children, but you may have experienced being under threat one way or another. Financial threat. The tax office being on your back. I won't ask for a show of hands who's running from the ATO. Your home being under threat. Bankruptcy. Crisis point. There are some key points I really want to extract from this passage. Please note that, like most of us, this woman's first response to the prophet was to highlight her limitations. When she was asked what she had, she said, "Your servant has nothing there at all." That's the first thing that popped into her mind. Thankfully, something clicked straight away, straight after that. That there was indeed something in her position, in her possession. Even then, she makes the mistake that a lot of us make, which is to measure value of what we have according to its size and not the value it can add to other people. She said, except for a small, small jar. It was small, but it was of great value. It was olive oil. Olive oil was used for trade. It was used for making perfumes. It was used for religious offerings to remedy stomach upsets. I'm sure if we go to Google, we'll find out what else olive oil is used for. I wonder, what is the small thing of value that is within your possession? Ability to cook? Where's Janine? There's Janine. Ability to sing, ability to listen to people, to connect people, to be a peacemaker, a problem solver. Are you good with kids? Are you good with the elderly? What is in your house? To you, you might be thinking it's just a small jar. The widow held a small jar of oil in her hand, and this was the seed of faith that God would use to cause a miracle. You see, seeds of faith are how we will get stretched. God wants to stretch you and I. One thing that stood out was that this woman, my goodness, she was a woman of faith. If you're looking for someone as an example, this woman was a woman of faith who would ultimately stretch herself by faith. Elisha was the middleman between the woman and her miracle. But she had a role to play. She had to trust the man of God. She had to be obedient and follow the instructions given. Where's your trust factor? Where's your obedience factor? You see, I imagined this woman, like I've got a few jars here. It was hard enough. I had to ask someone, I'm like, where, do we have any jars? And we had to look, and this is what we came up with. But I only had to go to the kitchen. This woman had to go to all her neighbors. Most of us don't even know our neighbors. I imagined her knocking on doors and being asked by the neighbors, how many do you need? Why do you need them? What sizes? How long for? And I imagine her saying, I'm not sure, a day or two, maybe a week. She didn't know. She had to act in faith. She had to be willing to look like a fool, to look ridiculous, to be misunderstood, criticized, judged, mocked. She was from a household of faith. Her husband was among the company of prophets. So I imagined some would have been looking at thinking, isn't this the prophet's wife? She's gone mad, asking for jars of all sizes. It took a lot of courage. In God's supernatural system, fruit is produced in a season where it's not supposed to be produced. And that is what we call a miracle. This woman knew what season she was in. She was in winter. Things were dry. Some of us are in winter right now. Things are dry. She was grieving her husband. She was fearful of losing her sons. And yet, she had an understanding that there is a God who can do the impossible. The God could override the season. Who knows that God can override seasons? That God could step into her situation, but she had to believe. There's power in belief. What you believe determines your faith moves. Our belief, however, is determined by our level of desperation, and that is determined by our level of hunger. How hungry are you for the things of God? How hungry are you to understand what the purpose why you're here is? I want to state the obvious but key point here. Her jar had oil. It actually had oil in it. The empty jars had nothing in them. There's a contrast there. So even though on the surface it looked like hers was a pathetic situation of a helpless grieving widow with a small jar, her jar was the one that had something in it. Elisha was there to show her that hers was not an empty jar and that hers would be the one that would fill the others. If only she would believe, trust, and obey the word spoken. Beliefs are powerful. They determine what you take in and what you run with. So as she started to believe, as she trusted, as she obeyed the word spoken, she went to her neighbors. Our going is going to be determined by what we believe. I wonder, where are you meant to be going, but you're not going yet? Because you don't believe, because you don't trust, because you don't obey. The reality is this: we can't just rely on the one small jar we have, because that one small jar is just a seed. God works in seeds, seed form. We need other people's empty jars of all sizes. The widow would have been given all jar sizes. I can imagine some gave them this big, some gave them this small. Because you know for yourself, if you look in your house, you've got jars of different sizes, right? But she had to stretch. She had to ask. We have to partner and collaborate with those in our circle, those in our industry. Whatever God has given you to grow, what you carry right now is merely a seed that will ultimately produce fruit. However, to take it to the next level, if you feel stuck and you feel like there's a next level, to take things to that next level of growth, you're going to need partnership and collaboration, because that's what's going to cause the increase for you and multiplication. Until then, we are not at capacity. The second part of verse 5 says, they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. She was instructed to pour and she kept pouring. We are instructed to pour into various spaces. I wonder what it is for you, what that looks like. Whatever season of life you're in, what have you been instructed to pour into? What are the spaces? What are the environments? What are the industries? What are the fields? Who are the individuals, the families, the communities that you are to pour into and not ignore or neglect? She was to pour into all the jars that were brought to her and not to leave any unattended. Sometimes we leave some things unattended because maybe we don't like them. You know, God can bring people into your life that you don't like and you think it's the devil. But God brings all sizes, all manner of jars into our lives. And we are to pour in. We pour differently, but we are to pour in. So my question is, what or who has been brought your way and has not been poured into because of the limitations you see within yourself and within them? Sometimes we see limitations in people and we think, nah. We had the women's event on Friday night, and Pastor Lisa from C3 Langford, is it Langford? Yes. She spoke about how sometimes we can be merged with our past. And when we are merged with our past, that stops us from emerging, which is the theme that we're having for this year, emerge. It's hard to emerge when you are merged to your past, when you're holding on to your doubts and insecurities. It says that this widow was told to put it carefully. Every jar she poured into, once it was full, she was to put it aside carefully, then attend to the others. There is something about being careful with what we have been given to pour into. Not to lose anything, not to spill anything, while at the same time focusing on what is in front of us. That speaks of good stewardship. It speaks of being accountable. God requires us to handle with care things he brings our way. The widow becomes so focused on the task at hand that it says that when all the jars were full, she said, bring me another one. She didn't even notice. She was on a roll. Are we asking God for another that we can pour into? For her sons, for generations to come, for her legacy, she was ready and willing. Bring me another one. All of us have a legacy we will leave behind. Could I please have the guitar player or piano player, someone? A legacy of fear, a legacy of grief, a legacy of unfulfilled dreams. Like how the widow was when she first encountered the prophet. Or we can leave a legacy of pouring into the future. Like how the widow was when she was willing to do the ridiculous to get freedom for her sons. Her fruit, the ones who had nothing to give. The ones who had no way of rescuing themselves. The ones who would be enslaved if she had not taken action. A key point. Do not underestimate the power and importance of asking for another one and making those faith moves. Moves that are going to set people free. You are the key to setting some people free. You are the solution. You are the answer. And remember, it's not about whether you think you can or you think you can't. It's about who is your God. We serve a living God, right? We hear that David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defeat the armies of the living God? The living God. That's who we focus on, not our own limitations. There are moves that are going to set people free, but we have to ask God. The oil did not stop flowing because it was no longer available. Because he's a limitless God. The oil stopped because there was nowhere else to place it. Nowhere else to invest. Nowhere else to pour it into. The oil stopped. Key point. Whether this widow gathered 20 or 500 jars to that capacity with the miracle of the oil flow. And to that capacity would she receive the value. 20 jars would get her 20 jars worth of value. 500 would get her 500 jars worth. Our job is to gather the jars so the oil can flow. If it seems like things are dry and oil has stopped flowing for you, it might be worth just taking a pause and going back to God and asking about how you have allowed, or what you can do, or what you have done to stop that capacity. I believe that, you know, the word of the Lord to us this afternoon is this: be fruitful and multiply. And that is not just about babies. Because it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, I'm past that age, so it's not about that. It's not about me. But for as long as you've got breath in you, God says, be fruitful and multiply. And it says that he blessed them. He blessed mankind. When you hear that God blessed, it means it's a done deal. Whatever follows is a done deal. Regardless of the circumstances that we face, it's already done. He said, you're blessed to go and be fruitful and multiply. Just get us to just stand up so we can pray. I just want us to just search our own hearts. Well, you can't actually search anyone else's heart, but if you can just search your heart. Are you fruitful? In whatever area you're in, whatever space you're in, not just church, in your relationships, are you fruitful? In your job, are you fruitful? In your business, are you fruitful? In your family, are you fruitful? In your giftings, are you fruitful? You might say yes, and I would say good. The next question I'll ask is, are you multiplying? It's not bad if your answer is no to any of those questions. That's why we're talking about it. So I just want to pray for this. Number one, that those people who can't see the small and valuable that they possess would see it and stop doubting. And I want to pray against spillage, against wastage, against lack and stagnation. And I want to pray for increased capacity to pour into another one. If you're not pouring into anyone, if you're not pouring into any family, any system, any community, any workplace, you're under using your purpose. You're underusing the blessing of God in your life. As Christians, we walk the earth like giants. We have authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. We call those things that are not as though they are. And so, Lord, I just pray this afternoon that your word would sink in for all of us. That the blessing you have given us to be fruitful, Lord, would become our reality. Father, I pray for those who are not seeing any fruit in their lives, those who feel stagnant, those who are experiencing lack, Lord. I pray that you would break that right now, because that is not our portion, Lord. You came that we may have life, and life more abundantly. And so anything that does not line up with that is the work of the enemy. So we pray against any work of the enemy to kill, to steal, and to destroy, because you came that we may have life. Father, I pray for increased capacity to be able to pour into another. I pray right now, Lord, that you would reveal to us, who are we to pour into? Which individual am I meant to pour into? Which family am I meant to pour into? Which church, which community, which country am I meant to pour into? Who am I meant to pray for? Who am I meant to give financially to? Who am I meant to pour into? I thank you for your people, Lord. Lord, we want to grow. We want to see multiplication. So anything, Lord, that is standing in the way of that, we just pray against it. I pray against the spirit of fear. I pray against the fear of men. I pray against the spirit of confusion. I pray against the spirit of mental illness in this place. And what mental illness does, and how it causes us to stagnate, and how it causes confusion. Father, I pray against every spirit hovering over this church in Kwinana. Every spirit hovering over this region, this city of Kwinana. I pray for a release, oh God. Church, I just get you to just open up your arms, your hands, to receive, to surrender and receive the word of the Lord this afternoon. Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. He says, behold, I do a new thing. So Lord, we pray for the new thing that you would do in C3 Kwinana. I thank you, Father, for your servants, for your people, Lord, that are willing to give of themselves, but there's blockages. I pray against every blockage that's in this place. I pray against spirits that are hovering over every individual. I pray against ancestral spirits, things that operate in the bloodline, things that are not of God, things that flow from generation to generation. Lord, we pray that chains be broken. Father, we pray for the patterns to be broken, things that get passed on from parents to their children.